Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious little ones, mommies and daddies, our guests. On this beautiful sunny Sabbath, it's very cool today, praise God, September 12, 2020. This is our lesson 312, our part 2 review of our chapter 67, entitled Woes on the Pharisees, part 2. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. Our little tiny thought song is the one that we shared from the first section of our study entitled, He Loves Me Too. And if anyone of the Dear Remnant family knows the little song, you can be able to participate as well. God see the little sparrow fall, He meets this tender view. If God so loved the little birds, I know He loves me too. He loves me too, He loves me too, I know He loves me too. Because He loves the little things, I know He loves me too.
He paints the lilies in the field as perfume to each bell. If He so loves the little flowers, I know He loves me well. He loves me too, He loves me too, I know He loves me too. Because He loves the little things, I know He loves me too.
God made the little birds and flowers and all things big and small. He'll not forget His little ones. I know He loves us all. He loves me too, He loves me too. I know He loves me too. Because He loves the little things. I know He loves me too.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If anyone or the little ones, mommies or daddies, or the mommies helping the little ones to be able to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
If we could all kneel and bow our hands and our hearts and come humbly. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you for bringing us safely through the week. Thank you for giving us the ability to come to you to be on bended knees to learn more of your word, dear Father God. May you please forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings. May you open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears, dear Father God, that we may receive wondrous things out of thy words and truth. And let us investigate them for ourselves, not just in the study, but throughout the week. May us be able to sit and sap with you and come closer to you, dear Father. Please guide and protect those that are affected by any type of maladies today, dear Father God. May you send your heavenly angels to encamp around your people, dear Father. May you be with each and every one of the families that are here, those that are listening at a later time. Be with the little ones, dear Father God. Bless them that they may be able to come up to the mic and be able to participate, to water and be watered, dear Father. We thank you and we love you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Rose must have left, so I'll just get started here with this review. And here we are, the 12th of September already. This month is nearly half over. And today we are reviewing our story about reconciliation, or being made friendly again. We are reconciled or made friends again with God by Christ's death. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled or made friendly with God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled or made friendly, we shall be saved by his life. The cross, that's what Jesus was nailed to, is invested with or given the power that language cannot express. Christ's sacrifice in behalf of the human race, or in our place, put to shame our meager or small efforts and methods to meet and uplift humanity, to help sinful men and women, that's you and me, to find Jesus. The work of the sons and daughters of God must be of a different character or a different type than has yet been manifested or shown by a large number. If we love Jesus, if they love Jesus, they will have enlarged ideas or a better understanding of the love that has been expressed for fallen man, which required the provision of so expensive an offering to save the human race. Do we know anything? Do we do anything to help others learn of Jesus' love? Our Savior asks the cooperation of every son and daughter of Adam who has become a son and daughter of God. He wants us to work with him. Our Savior declares that he brought from heaven as a donation or a gift eternal life. Only in heaven will the saved understand what it cost Jesus to come down and save us. He was to be lifted up upon the cross. That is, he was to be crucified to draw all men unto him. Wouldn't you really love somebody who gave you a really nice gift? How then shall we treat the purchased inheritance of Christ, those are the people for whom Jesus died? Tenderness, appreciation, and thankfulness, kindness, sympathy, and love should be shown to them. Then we may work to help and bless one another. In this work, we have more than human brotherhood, or more than just our human friends. We have the exalted or high companionship of heavenly angels. The angels from heaven will help us. They cooperate with us in the work of enlightening the high and low, or bringing the truth to those we meet. Having engaged in the work, or started in the work, the amazing or wonderful work of our redemption, Christ determined in counsel with his Father to spare nothing, however costly, to withhold nothing, however highly it might be esteemed, that would rescue the poor sinner. He would give all heaven to do this work of salvation, or saving you and me, of restoring the moral image of God in man. That is making us holy like him. To be a child of God is to be one with Christ in God, and to put forth our hands in earnest, self-sacrificing love to strengthen and bless the souls that are perishing in their sins. That means we should be willing to give anything and everything to save others. And this story is from Sons and Daughters of God, page 129. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled or made friendly to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled or made friendly, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5:10. Rose must have gotten back because I see she changed the picture. All right, I should have asked ahead of time if there's any questions. Well, let's see, I got a PM here. Let's see what that said. Where did it go? Must have been a long time ago. Oh, yes. Gracias, gracias. All right, were there any questions in here? Let me check and see. Looks like we ran out of questions. So I ran out of answers. Okay, Rose, I'll hand it back to you. Thank you, children, for listening.
Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are just joining us. Our opening hymn is entitled Wonderful Word of Life to Our Team. You can find this in number 286. If any one of the dear remnant family would like to take one of the verses, you will unmute your mic. Sing them all over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more than beauty see, wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty, beautiful words,
wonderful words,
wonderful words of life, beautiful words,
wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, lift to the love and call wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. We echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. If any one of the dear family, little ones, guests, would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Father God, thank you so much for keeping us safe. Hope everybody has a good day today and a good day tomorrow. Please give our sins and continue to transgress against them. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Sister Layla. Our opening verse for our review lesson is from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, from the King James Version, and it's a memory verse song as well. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week? Before we hear your questions, dear ones, let's take a few minutes to review our last week study from part one of our Woe on the Pharisees, part two in our study book, The Desire Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
To make a show of their piety was their constant aim. Nothing was held too sacred to serve this end. To Moses, God had said concerning his commandments, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes. Deuteronomy 6:8. These words have a deep meaning, as the word of God is meditated upon in practice. The whole man will be ennobled in righteous and merciful dealing. The hand will reveal as a signet. Next slide, please.
Continuing, the principles of God's law. They will be active in works of love and compassion. The eyes directed toward a noble purpose will be clear and true. The expressive countenance, the speaking eye, will testify to the blameless character of him who loves and honors the word of God. But by the Jews of Christ's day, all this was undiscerned. The command given to Moses was construed into a direction that the precepts of Scripture should be worn upon the person.
Continuing, Desire of Ages, page 612. They were accordingly written upon strips of parchment and bound in a conspicuous manner about the head and wrist. But this did not cause the law of God to take a firmer hold of the mind and heart. These parchments were worn merely as badges to attract attention. They were thought to give the wearers an ear of devotion which would command the reverence of the people. Jesus struck a blow at this vain pretense. Desire of Ages, page 612, paragraph 3. And on the slide it says, the strange little leather boxes were called phylacteries. These boxes were usually 1.5 inches square. They were made of the skin of a sheep or cow. Inside the boxes were some of God's laws written on strips of parchment. These were rolled up and tied with white hair of a calf or a cow's tail through, thank you, through a flap in the box, a very long leather strap was passed. Jewish men used the straps to fasten the boxes to their foreheads and to their left arm. Near the heart, they wore the boxes during their morning prayer.
Go ahead, brother.
The Desire of Ages, page 613. For all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. and love the uppermost rooms, at peace and the chief seats in the synagogues and greens in the markets, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And the side it says, Philatry, God instructed the Jews to wear the scripture on their foreheads. Deuteronomy 6:8. This is called a phylactery, Matthew 23:5. Traditionally, they contain four tiny scrolls inscribed with the following scripture portions. Exodus 13:1-10, 11:16, Deuteronomy 6:4-9, 11:13-21. Next slide, please.
And continuing, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. In such plain words, the Savior revealed the selfish ambition that was ever reaching for place and power, displaying a mock humility, while the heart was filled with avarice and envy.
Amen.
When persons were invited to a feast, the guests were seated according to their rank, and those who were given the most honorable place received the first attention and special favors. The Pharisees were ever scheming to secure these honors. This practice Jesus rebuked. These are page 613, paragraph 1.
On Desire of Ages, page 613, he also reproved the vanity shown in covering the title of rabbi or master. Such a title, he declared, belonged not to men but to Christ. Priests, scribes, and rulers, expounders and administrators of the law, were all brethren, children of one father. Jesus impressed upon the people that they were to give no man a title of honor, indicating his control of their conscience or their faith. That's why we're not supposed to have.
The Desire of Ages, page 613. If Christ were on earth today, surrounded by those who bear the title of Reverend or Right Reverend, would he not repeat his saying, neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ? The scripture declares of God, holy and reverend is his name, Psalm 111, verse 9. To what human being is such a title befitting? Next slide, please. How little does man reveal of the wisdom and righteousness it indicates? How many of those who assume this title are misrepresenting the name and character of God? Alas, how often have worldly ambition, despotism, and the basest sins been hidden under the broidered garments of a high and holy office? The Savior continued. Desire of Ages 613. Paragraph 3.
Desire pages, page 614. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Again and again, Christ had taught that true greatness is measured by moral work. In the estimation of heaven, greatness of character consists in living for the welfare of our fellow men and doing works of love and mercy. Christ, the King of Glory, was a servant of all men. And on the sides it says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. In the bottoms it said, Christ, the King of Glory, in Luke 22:27, King James Version, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meal or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. And I apologize. My computer is going fast all of a sudden. So let us consider our verse from 1 Peter chapter 3:15 from the King James Version before we begin our review in the reading comprehension. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? Dear ones, these are the questions that we have for our reading comprehension, our part two. I hope and pray everyone has their answer close by. And if not, you can be able to go back into the slide and can be able to get the question, the answer from that. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? The second one is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Third one, where did the story take place? Fourth, when did the story begin? Five, how could you relate to the story? Six, what did you learn from this lesson? And you can use your own words, dear ones. And now it's open. If any one of the dear brethren would like to be able to begin.
The first one is the Pharisees.
Thank you, Rosie. If you could go back one slide so that we can see the questions as the dear ones are trying to answer it. Thank you.
The main idea was how to keep God's law in mind spiritually, not physically, not only just physically.
Mm-hmm.
I believe some of the main character was Christ, Moses, and the Pharisees.
So where did the story took place, dear ones?
The answer is in the temple courts.
Praise the Lord. And where did the story begin?
On the last day of Christ's teaching in the temple.
Dear ones, if you can take out your worksheet or you can be able to open the computer, you will be able to go back into the slide if it's possible. And the last one, number five, how could you relate to the story?
Could relate to the story by realizing that it's not an outward show of the law that the Lord wants us to have, but an inward, where our hearts and our minds are changed and our actions and our deeds towards him and towards our brethren and to those that we come in contact with.
Thank you so much, dear sister. Is there any one of the brethren that will also want to add to their relation to the storyline? May you unmute your mic.
Well, how I can relate this is the Pharisees took what God told to Moses for granted for their own personal gain. That's more the reason why they wore phylacteries and those fancy robes. But they should know that God cares for everyone and people and the people who should just understand that that God's law only wants everyone just to obey Him and live the way He wanted them to be. To be just as holy, just as Him.
And I'm able to relate personally because of actually just growing up in a church and seeing how well-dressed everybody thought that they needed to be. Their well-dressedness, it was just for show. Because when I was able to get to know certain individuals, and this includes certain people of my family, well dressed to go to church, but extremely rude and disrespectful for no reason, but say that they're children and more holier than thou, say that they're children of God, and really, really quick to tell you that you're wrong. This is how I'm able to relate on a personal level. So as far as your dress and your attire and what you make of yourself on the outside, it does not do anything for your heart, because that's what the Lord is looking at.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're so grateful that the Lord is a God of the heart, and He knows the intents also of the thought. And thank you so much. And also, I would like to be able to just read what our dear families are placing in the room. Our dear Gadai family had wrote, "A great name among men is like letters that are written on the sand." Amen. Very true. The last question, dear one, is what did you learn from the lesson? You can write it in your own words in the room, or you can be able to take the mic.
I have learned, and I'm still learning, that none is greater than none in the sight of God, and that we are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and treat each other as Christ would teach everyone, would treat everyone, how He went about caring for those who even despise Him, caring for the very soul that is within the person to save them to the uttermost, that He is no respecter of persons. And that is a very important lesson to me. As I said, learning, by the grace of God, and hope to be able to execute that in my walk going forward, by the grace of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful that everyone has taken the chance to be able to answer the question. If there's any other question that you would like to answer or share your thought concerning our study today, you can.
I have a question. I posted it in the room. The question was, in the lecture, it said that they put the phylacteries upon their forehead and upon their left arm. And I wanted to know what was the significance of having it upon the left arm as opposed to the right.
Maybe it's like in our culture, when people get married, they wear a ring on the left hand. Other than that, maybe it was easier to tie on the left hand using the right hand. Yeah, well, it was for show. I mean, the one on your left hand and the one on your forehead was so other people would think you were really religious.
Is there anyone, dear brethren, that would like to be able to share their thought on the question?
I was going to ask if there's anything biblical that we can go ahead and study on to see the significance of that tradition.
Do you remember that everything that was given to Moses, it was a type of what was supposed to be done spiritually? The area where they put this little symbol of the box, don't forget that what contains inside of the box is what the Lord was trying to be able to let them remember. The area where they placed it on their actual head, it is the same way how the Lord wants to be able to write the laws in our minds. And the area where they have, the little box, the two boxes is exactly in the areas where the Lord is going to write it in our hearts. That area of the arm, if you put your hands down, you will see that the actual box on the arm is on the direction where the heart is. So they was doing the type of what we supposed to be able to allow Christ to be able to do in the anti-type. He said that he will put the law in our minds and in our hearts, type and anti-type. If there's anyone that would like to be able to relate, where also the children can be able to understand, may you unmute your mic.
I find it interesting that they took the scripture literally and tried to put the word of God in their mind, which was close in the frontal lobes there. But when it came to the heart, they didn't wrap it around the chest so that it would be directly over the heart. They put it on the left arm to be closer to the heart, but not over the heart. So they took it literally, but when it came to the practice, they were making leeway because it couldn't work out for everyone to have their chest constricted with a little box above the heart, you know? So it was inconsistent in their belief. If it was literally to be done, they should have literally put it where the heart was on the chest, but that was impractical to do. So they altered their literalness to make it somewhat more comfortable. And so that should have told them that God wasn't wanting them to literally put these boxes above their mind and their heart, but it was to allow the word of God to abide in the mind or in the heart as a conductive force for their character, a guard for their mind and heart.
Yeah, thank you, Elder Rob. I also had another question. In this lecture also, it mentioned that I think when they were being seated, they were placed in by ranks. When persons were invited to a feast, the guests were seated according to their rank. What exactly gave them their notable rank? Is it
like they have the phylacteries wearing, but is it because of their riches, because of how long they've been a part of the, like, the Sanhedrin? Like, what exactly gave them their ranks? What determined that so that they can be seated according to their ranks?
Well, based on the study, if you remember, the section where it was trying to be able to honor the positions of the elders and the officials, the way how they seated is the way the ranks that they do have. If you notice that there was in the past a story when, remember when Joseph had brought their brothers to be able to sit at meat with them? They were sitting according to their birth. When the Lord was talking about this particular study, he was talking about, if you notice in the setting where the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, just give me, if you give me a little chance after this study, I will bring two pictures. I'm gonna bring the pictures that they do today. Like if you go to a church, if you look behind the pulpit, you have a chair in the middle that shows the main pastor of the church, and then you have the other officials, and they are actually sitting by ranks. So I'm going to give two pictures after when we finish, so I don't have to take over the area of the youth study. But at the end of the study, I will be able to do so, okay? So it really was talking about the way how they were actually sitting. They were sitting as in giving homage to the position that they did have. If any one of the dear brethren would like to be able to elaborate on the answer to the questions, may you unmute your mic.
It may also have had something to do with their education. You know, if we have a PhD come in the room, we give him the first place because he's the smartest guy among us, supposedly, in the guy that's had a 12th grade education, he's sitting down there at the end. It might have been something like that.
They are definitely in the church sitting in ranks. You got the head pastor and his wife that sit together. You have the assistant pastor and his wife that sit together. And then you have everybody else that follows, whether they're deacons, bishops, that are, or chairman on the board of that church, and ushers, they all sit together. Those who are of a higher rank actually sit on the stage, and those that are of a lower rank but still within the business, I would say the corporation, they will all sit on the front two rows of the church.
Ranking is a man-made thing. Christ didn't tell everybody, listen, I belong at the head of this row because I'm bigger and better than all the rest of you. He came and he humbled himself, and that's the way humans ought to do. All ye are brethren.
But in many churches, you still see that that is happening. You still do see that there is a separation. You still see that people are doing, it's sadly, it's happening still in the churches. There is a class, there is a set of people that is deemed above the others. And what classifies them like that is puzzling to me. It is very unfortunate, but, yeah, I was just sitting here thinking, and it was resonating to me. He that is exalted shall be abased, and he that is abased shall be exalted. We're still, in some regards, lacking in that sense, right? Because we are all children in the Lord's eyes, or we're supposed to be childlike in his eyes. But it's like we have a lot of work to do.
So if you notice, this is the whole purpose of the lesson that the Lord was trying to be able to let the Pharisees and the Sadducees know. He gave them the ability to be depositaries of the word of God, not to lord over them. That's why he said, according to Matthew, remember in our study, and it tells you that I'm going to start it where it says from verse 6. And love the upper rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue, 7. And greeting in the market and to be called of men, rabbi, rabbi. But what did the Lord told them? But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. So wasn't the Lord bringing into them the way how they was doing things in tradition and to remove that lordness over the people? And he started to do what they were supposed to do, and that was to teach them, but teach them not only by giving them the message, but to be an example of that very message that they were teaching. And call no man your father upon the earth. We're not talking about the father that actually is your father from birth, but we're talking about calling someone in the position of your God, for only one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be called master, for one is your master, even Christ. He even gave them who it was so like that it could remove all doubts. But if your heart is closed and you are caught up in tradition, you're following your tradition, but if you were following the word of God, they would have seen that the Lord was giving them the message of what and how they were supposed to treat one another and what was the responsibility of those that he had given them to become overseers, elders among them. Well, dear ones, we can continue the dialogue after the meeting. We do not want to go over. So I would like to share a poem that we also found from the Education of the Sunlight Education Ministry. This is in Family Bible Lesson, Year 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 9, page 250, the Children Activity Book. It's entitled, Do You Wish to Go to Heaven? And if any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of them, of the verses, you can be able to unmute your mic. But before we begin to read, I would like to just read the quote that was placed by our elder in the room. 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Amen.
Amen.
If any one of the dear family would like to take the first verse, may you unmute your mic, dear one.
That would explain why the Lord told me to remove myself from that society last week. The first part of the poem says, "Do you wish to go to heaven? Jesus is the only way. God, his son, to you hath given. Seek him, children, while you may."
Jesus? Go ahead, Father.
Okay, thank you. Jesus has a listening ear and a very tender heart. Little children need not fear. Who in Jesus have a part?
Jesus has a happy home. 'Tis beyond the twinkling star. Jesus beckons you to come to that happy home afar.
Do you wish to see his face in the gold paved streets above? Then you ask him for his grace that will cleanse your love with me.
Jesus will not angry be. He can hear you from on high. Jesus will not frown on thee. Bend your little knee and try.
¿Deseas ir al cielo? Jesús es el único camino. Dios no ha dado otro hijo. Búsquenlo, niños, mientras puedan.
Amen. And that translation is, do you wish to go to heaven? Jesus is the only way. God, no other son has given. Seek him, children, while you may. Praise the Lord. That touched upon what we have just learned. He's the only master, rabbi, and father. Mm-hmm. If there's any testimony, my testimony is too big. So that's the reason I'm not going to take this section. I will do it after. And if there's anyone that have a testimony that they would like to share, that we are actually over time. So we can be able to do that at the end of our meeting by God's grace. Is it okay for the brothers and sisters in Spanish to be able to close on their elder Bob?
Sure.
Hermanos, pudieran cerrar, por favor. Our closing hymn is entitled O Cantamelos Otra Vez, and it's the opening song in Spanish.
Oh, cantadmelas otra vez, bellas palabras de vida. Hallo en ellas mi gozo y luz, bellas palabras de vida. Sí, de luz y vida, son sostén y guía. Qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Jesucristo a todos da bellas palabras de vida. Hoy escúchalas, pecador, bellas palabras de vida. Bondadoso te salva y al cielo te llama. Qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Grato el cántico sonará, bellas palabras de vida. Tus pecados perdonará, bellas palabras de vida. Sí, de luz y vida, son sostén y guía. Qué bellas son, qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida.
Amén.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. Next week, we will continue with our part three of our lesson entitled War on the Pharisees in our study book, Desire Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Heavenly Father, I come before you and I ask, O Lord Jesus, that you will continue to watch over and keep us as we get through this day, Father God. I ask, O Lord, that you will touch and heal all those who are sick and weary, Father God. And please give us all a peace of mind, Father God, so we may be able to turn and give our whole being to you, Father God. I ask, O Lord Jesus, that you bless us with your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the strength that we need to continue to stand and walk forward and look up. I pray that the word that you have given us will continue to guide us in our daily journey, Father God. And I thank you, O Lord, for allowing us to be able to see you another day, O Lord, and providing for our every need according to your riches and glory and not to our own selfish needs. ask, O Lord, that you will please put a peace upon all of the children so that they will be able to also listen, even if they fall asleep, that you will continue to minister to their spirit, even in their sleeping as well. Please forgive us of our sins, iniquity, and transgressions, everything that we've said, thought, done, consciously and unconsciously, no, Father God. And may there be a peace amongst us, and may your Holy Spirit come and comfort our souls and our spirits, Father God. Hide us under the shadow of your wings, O Heavenly Father, and continue to minister to our hearts, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to start our part 3, lesson 313, from our chapter 67 entitled War on the Pharisees. And that will be held September 19, 2020. Hope and pray that you all were blessed, dear ones. May you continue the dialogue at home. These studies are very important because it's exactly what is going on, type and anti-type. So have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath, dear ones, leaving you Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God bless everyone. Have a blessed Sabbath.